Shalom Havarim and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my best Havara and Bible teacher, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, tada to my best Haver. And we have a lot to cover today, so let's ask God for his blessing.
Okay, Abba Father, tada for your beautiful language of perfection. It is our true desire to glorify you in all things. May your mercies endure forever while we push through the darkness that envelops us. We continue to plead for your relentless tuggings on the hearts of our unsaved loved ones. With miracles of healing on those afflicted within your church, we lift up to you those involved and experience anguish over Hurricane Michael's devastating destruction. May they turn to you for comfort. Protect President Bush.
And President Trump, honey. Praise you, Jesus.
And may he do what is right according to thy will. We humbly ask this in the name of Yeshua. HaMashiach. Amen.
Amen.
HaMashiach, I think that is
right. President Bush, where'd that come from?
I don't know. I just came winging in there.
Amen. Well, Jesus knows. All right. We began last week in the book of Revelation. And remember, if you missed it or need to listen again, it is up on our webpage, usually within a few days, unless we encounter technical difficulties that sometimes occur.
This way, you can also pause it or rewind it for note-taking and more clarity.
Warning, warning, do not let the enemy tell you this is too hard. That is a lie to be discerned immediately.
You know, especially since Revelation is the only book within the Bible that comes with an added blessing when studied.
That's right. And we saw that right away in verse 3. Mm-hmm. And also closes the book with that special blessing in chapter 22, yeah. Verse 7. Mm-hmm. So hang in there and stick with this study every week. Because every Christian needs to be in a study of God's Word.
Absolutely imperative.
Amen. We cannot stress that enough.
Any comments on the week's news?
Hello. We have a serious situation going on with our ally Saudi Arabia. The Crown Prince, who is a son and co-regent for the aged king, who is not in the best of health, is the Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. Referred to as MBS, and we will do that as well. The latest on Tuesday of changing accounts, MBS now says he did not order a hit on the Washington Post reporter James Khashoggi, rather just to capture him in their consulate in Turkey and bring him back to Saudi Arabia for questioning because Jamal, a citizen of Saudi Arabia, has been majorly critical of MBS and had been summoned to his homeland for a meeting of which he refused. But apparently it somehow turned real bad.
So why did they need 15 men with large suitcases?
That is a major concern, especially if they were just taking him back to Saudi Arabia.
Now, you know, is Jamal a U.S. citizen too?
Well, not yet, but he is a legal permanent resident waiting for citizenship.
So a green card holder.
Yes. And so American leaders want some reprisals since the evidence is so damaging to Saudi Arabia's MBS. And really, nothing should happen without his prior knowledge.
Yeah, as a rule.
Right. But MBS is vowing retaliation, and here's where it gets serious. If we apply any sanctions, at the very least, they would raise oil prices extremely, which would affect us all. Now, some big-time financiers and even Google is backing out of attending next week's planned social Saudi Arabia's economic conference.
And, you know, that's not good at all.
No, it isn't. And actually, I do find it hard to believe that MBS would jeopardize his newly formed warm relationship with President Trump. And there's just so much at stake for them and the United States and, of course, Israel.
Right. They play a big role in the peace plan.
Oh, very big. So whether this is all true or not, I'm sure, all involved. I think they're going to come up with another theory.
Well, you know, they have to.
Many are speculating that since this happened at the Saudi Arabia consulate in Turkey, that Turkish President Erdogan, who is no friend, by the way, to MBS, could be embellishing the story.
To disrupt Saudi and U.S. ties.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that probably is why he released our jailed Pastor Brenson, because he needed favor with President Trump, and he got it.
A definite connect the dots. It's an ongoing situation.
That's right. It is ongoing. Mm-hmm. Anyway, numerous meetings and many investigations continue, and our Secretary of State Pompeo is in Saudi Arabia, soon to go to Turkey, who met with the king, his other son, and also MBS. Also, let me add, as in most governments, MBS has many enemies inside Saudi Arabia, many of which he successfully dethroned last year to cleanse the house of corruption when he took over.
Yeah, you know, that was a huge makeover.
Yes. Some died. Some turned over their enormous fortunes. Some landed in prison, and some were just never seen again, and some were friends of Khashoggi, who has ties with the Muslim Brotherhood, who MBS hates. Okay, lots of intrigue, lots going on. We'll never know everything, I'm sure. Still, MBS would be very crazy, in my eyes, to assassinate a U.S. legal resident and a reporter, no less. As well, MBS still has many rivals right inside the royal house that he is not even aware of, as does President Trump, who are dedicated to his downfall and will do just about anything behind the scenes to stigmatize our alliance.
And Jared Kushner's friendship with MBS.
Yes, he does. And one more quick point. Saudi Arabia owns $167 billion of our treasury debt. If they retaliate over what we might do, Saudi Arabia would most likely decide to unload it and not buy anymore. That, besides the lost arms sales and the other transgressions, and too much to cover on this program, but that would heavily damage us economically in a big way. Something the socialist Dems would actually love to see happen.
Could they be in on it, you think?
I don't know. One wonders. But this is seriously a bad situation for Americans and Israel, which is why we are discussing this. But a lot more on this topic in our upcoming newsletter.
Okay. Now, you can reach it by email to Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also by regular mail, Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Your love offerings are much needed right now and greatly appreciated, which automatically puts you on our mailing list to receive our newsletter with updates and biblical teaching. You can also donate on our webpage, ShofarMinistries.net, where all the past radio and teaching newsletters are archived for your added learning.
And let me add that donations are down, so we do ask for your consideration to partner with us, you know, to send forth the good news of salvation and to inspire the body of Christ to dig a little deeper into his word.
Because the study of God's word gets you the closest to him.
Because he is the word, John 1:1.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Revelation 1 introduced the book to John by a vision of Jesus Christ using 24 descriptive titles. Some of these titles he uses in his seven letters, which were not only to literal churches in Asia Minor, but also when taken consecutively, describes the entire church age. It's quite remarkable. By the way, we did finish our newsletter this week, but did not have enough room to list Jesus' 24 titles, as we had mentioned last week and we had hoped to do. Instead, I was led to write about Evil Halloween because it is soon upon us.
But we will be glad to send them to you upon your request by email.
Or by regular mail. Just send us a self-addressed stamped envelope to Box 513 in Burton. All right. We will continue in Chapter 2, which outlines the church age chronologically and thereby prophetically by describing the condition of the church as a whole from its beginning to the end where we are today. The first one, years 33 to about 100, are always addressed to the angel, which is in Greek angelos and simply means messenger of the church. First one in Ephesus, which we studied last week. But a quick recap is that Ephesus, whose name actually means darling, think of that, that was a gung-ho apostolic church that eventually, unfortunately, lost its first love of its deep passion. We also looked at that personally because it calls out to anyone who has an ear, who perhaps has gone through a similar experience, you know, lost that first excitement of passion. Jesus uses a title from chapter 1 of holding the stars in his right hand, and these are the angels or messengers to the churches, and the seven lamps, which are his bride, the true church, confirmed in verse 20. And Jesus right away introduces the deeds of the Nicolaitans, because this wicked seed has already been planted, and we'll expound on that later as it flourishes in the church at Pergamum. But today we will continue with the next church at Smyrna. This would be the years between 100 and 312 AD, whose name actually means myrrh, which is used especially as an embalming spice. How fitting that myrrh was one of the gifts given to Jesus by the wise men along with gold and frankincense. Let me take a moment and jump ahead to his return, spoken of by Isaiah in chapter 60, verse 6, because once again, Jesus will be given gifts of gold and frankincense, but this time, no gifts of myrrh. Again, it is used for embalming, so certainly not needed ever again. Amazing how we can also learn his word by what is omitted as well. Don't you just love his word? I pray you do. Anyway, Smyrna is located 40 miles north of Ephesus. It was considered to be the safest seaport of its time with a booming economy, for it sat on a main trade route between Rome, India, and Persia. Alexander the Great personally planned the city and called it the Ornament of Asia. The city had a large Jewish population, but many more pagan Greeks. Archaeologists verify Smyrna had a main street paved in gold with the temple of Zeus at one end and the female god statue of Diana at the other. And we know perverse sexual worship centered around these gods, and as well emperor worship in the Roman Empire. Therefore, Smyrna's true Christians, about 5 million of them, were highly persecuted, martyred, and used as a scapegoat when they began to experience any pestilence and or plagues. The people thought the gods had to be angry that Christianity was in their city. Similar to the Jews through the ages. So, Jesus, like Ephesus, has no condemnation for Smyrna. Nothing to repent for, just told to overcome, which means to remain faithful. Therefore, they would not face the second death. And if you're a true believer, you won't either. The city of Smyrna is still thriving today, but is called Izmir, I-Z-M-E-R. I want to comment on verse 9, because Jesus says, I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich, speaking spiritually. And he goes on to say, I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews, but are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Those are pretty heavy words that require explanation. So we need to go back to the descendants of Esau, called the Edomites, whose Greek name was the Idumeans, who made Hebron in Israel their capital and remained under Edomite control until Judas the Maccabee took back the city. Y'all remember the story of Hanukkah? Anyhow, by 126 BC, it was totally reconquered by the Jewish army, whereby the Idumeans were forced to be proselytized into Judaism. Or they could leave, or they would die. So guess what? This resulted in many Idumeans converting and pretending to become Jews, yet really were not. As a happy consequence for the Idumeans, many were promoted by the Romans. One, as king of Israel, in 37 BC, named Herod. Thinking the Jews would accept them, the Idumeans, better than a Roman king. After all, they claimed to be Jewish, even if they were forced proselytes. All the Herods, and so their descendants, were Idumeans. And they killed Jewish babies. Another killed John the Baptist. Still another, James, the brother of John, in Acts 12, too. The Romans, in 70 AD, renamed the whole area of Israel Palestine. Although they thought about keeping it Idumea because it was on all the maps, but the connection to the Jewish people was offensive to them. When the Jews left in the diaspora, most Idumeans stayed and took on the geographical name of the Palestinians, because back then you take on the name of where you reside. I should also mention there is evidence today, still today, that back in the 8th century AD, a Khazarian king converted to Judaism and made his people do it as well, and are referred to as Khazarian Jews, who really are not blood Jews, but have mingled into the Jews today. I have not done a lot of study on this, I'll be honest, because it gets complicated. But I must say, I have seen many in the Israeli government that I question whether they are really Jews, like those who would continually keep giving away land that God won back for them in 1948 and 67. Anyhow, back to Smyrna. In verse 10, we see that Jesus tells them what will happen prophetically and did turn out to be true, happening during the years 100 to 312. Verse 10 reads, "Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested. And you will have affliction 10 days. Be fruitful until death, and I will give you the crown of life." Okay, test their faith. Will they stay true? Could you? And 10 days means 10 revolutions of time, and scholars interpret that to mean 10 emperors, which is exactly how many they had till 312, when Constantine, because he had a vision of a cross in the sky, made the empire Christian. That is, Christian in mind only, not of the heart, as becomes obvious upon reading about the next change in the era of Pergamus, whose actual name means mixed marriage. Now, think about that as we see what happens. Over the years, from 312 to about 606, now, Pergamum was the capital of Asia Minor, which began the Dark Ages, by the way, and here's why. Paganism is now welcomed in the church as it marries the world, hence its name of a mixed marriage. The start of a one-world religion, which, according to Revelation 17, will happen again. History repeats itself, and we are seeing it being formed, really, right now. You know, Ecclesiastes 1:9 says, "Nothing is new under the sun." It's just packaged a little differently. A reason for so much paganism in this area is because when Persia took Babylon back in the 6th century B.C., the Babylonian priest had to move its headquarters to Pergamum. So there you got it. Now, do you remember Nimrod and the Tower of Babel? We are told that he, Nimrod, wanted to reach heaven, and most assumed that meant God, but then, why was God so hard on the Babylonians? Because actually, they wanted to enter the portal where demon gods travel from the second heaven to earth. Remember, there are three heavens. What we see is, of course, the first heaven in the sky. The next one is outer space, and further up is where God dwells. Scripture repeatedly tells us that demon beings reside in the heavenlies, and they do. So, anyhow, God mixed up their language into many, so they would separate accordingly, and therefore the tower was ended. Anyhow, Pergamum had the biggest manuscript library of anywhere. Everyone who wanted to study went there. It was a world wonder. Take notice of Jesus' title in verse 12. He who has the sharp two-edged sword. Well, Hebrew 4:12 tells us the word is our sword. The church age easily allowed false teachings and allowed the doctrine of the Nicolaitans as well, which means rule over the people. The hierarchy of the church is better than the people, they claimed, and privileged by God. Therefore, only they have all the answers. This was the beginning of much error in the church. First off, they removed the Lord's feast because Jews were the first chosen to adhere to them, and then they replaced them with pagan holidays, but renamed with a Christian name. For instance, Passover became Easter. They changed Teshuvah in the fall to Lent in the spring. They celebrated Jesus' birth on the winter solstice, called it Christmas instead of on his real birthday on the Feast of Tabernacles, while adding many church rules. They changed the name of the goddess Semiramis, also known as the Queen of Heaven, to the name of Mary. Mm-hmm. And of course, actually we'll see her heavily worshipped in the next church that we'll get to next week. And the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, seduced by pride, continually gets stronger and soon flourishes. And the first temple of an imperial cult was there. It was built there. And they had emperor worship, and they destroyed most synagogues, burning many Jewish writings. So that sets the stage for the next letter to Thyatira, which we will get to next week. I hope you read all seven letters at one sitting, because you'll notice a real change of pace and style in the next church. Of course, let me ask you, are you saved? Trust me, having your name on the church roster doesn't mean you are going to heaven. Just like sitting in the garage doesn't make you a car. Being a good and decent person, that's not enough to get you to heaven. Having a close personal relationship with Jesus is the only way. John 14:6. You say you think you do, but how do you know for sure? Well, you will have an insatiable desire to get closer by consuming his word as much and as possible, and as often as possible, with passion. And that's all of it. Then just fellowship with like-minded people and spread the good news. Freedom is yours. No church rules or regulations. Just that hunger to feast on his word. The more you feast, the hungrier you will get. It's really an amazing transformation that God does, not yourself, lest you should boast. Let me leave you with the Aaronic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And that's from Numbers 6, 22 through 27, that God told Moses to be sure to say when he blessed the people, then God would bless them as well. Till next time, Sha'olu Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her, you're going to prosper in all areas of your life. Psalm 122, verse 6. Have a good week. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.